For Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center here in Atlantic, this is Bob Ebensee along with Grant Jelly on this morning's Conservation Report, he being the Conservation Officer for Cass and Adair Counties, in case you don't know where he hangs his hat, and that's where he hangs it most of the time. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, a lot of good things going on. The snow disappeared yesterday. That temperature got up into the 50s, and it just pretty well took care of it. It was a light, fluffy snow, so I don't think this did any detrimental things to wildlife, did it?
No, I wouldn't say so. You know, we've talked about it before. We've had a pretty mild winter for the most part. This is probably only our second or third real snowfall, I would say. But, you know, this is good news, especially if you're a bird hunter. You know, when we get these late winter, you know, a foot of snow or even more, that can be really hard on our upland birds like pheasants and quail. And, of course, it affects all wildlife, but those seem to be some of the most susceptible. So if we can kind of skate through the rest of the winter and then maybe have a somewhat dry spring, we'll be in good shape for next fall's upland hunting season.
You bet. Get them coming on. Okay, big event coming up as far as the pheasant part of wildlife, and that's the Pheasants Forever annual banquets knocking on our door.
It is. It's going to be here before we know it. The 27th annual banquet will be coming up on the 25th of February, and that'll be held at the Cass County Community Building here in Atlantic. The doors will open at 5 p.m. and dinner will be served at 6:30. So they've already got have pre-sold almost 200 tickets now, so expect a pretty large crowd, but there's going to be lots of raffles there, and a fine meal, of course, will be there. This is a neat event because, you know, it's not just for adults. They've actually designed some games for the kids too, so it'll be kind of a family event. And you know, if you're an outdoorsman or a shooter, there's going to be, I believe, up to 12 guns that they'll have raffles and auctions on. And of course, you'll have your live and silent auctions, a variety of items that'll be available for you. But it's a good event. The Pheasants Forever chapter does some good stuff here locally. They do some habitat improvement projects each year. They've held I understand last fall, they had a youth pheasant hunt, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool. One of their young hunters got their first ever pheasant, so that's good stuff. That's kind of the importance of these particular types of groups is that they benefit things here locally. They give away a $500 scholarship each year to a student in the area who wants to maybe continue their education in the conservation or outdoor field. Mm-hmm. So lots of good things are a result of these banquets. You know, I try to always tell people that it's not just about going to the banquet and winning stuff. You know, when you spend money there or you go there and participate, it actually helps local things like the scholarship and the youth hunts and most importantly, habitat improvement projects, of course. But yeah, encourage everybody to come out. You can get your tickets there at the door, or you can get them ahead of time if you choose to do so. But it should be a good event, and hope to see a lot of folks there.
Okay. I'm going to pick on Pheasants Forever a little bit. The chapter, we need to have a report on what happens. You in publicity and doing good things, you need to tell them you're going to do it, and then tell them you did it and how successful it was. And I wish they would be a little more oriented toward that, and that's my own personal feelings, and we'll leave that lay where it is. Okay, something that I was pretty interested in. Last program, we talked about your buddy down south having a coyote tournament. That was last weekend. How'd it work?
Well, it was actually pretty slow. I think we had maybe an inch or two of snow on the ground at that time, which we kind of expected it to be total chaos because snow typically attracts coyote hunters. But for the most part, we didn't have any issues. We had, you know, just a few pretty minor complaints, but it appeared everybody behaved themselves, and that's good because, you know, predator and coyote hunters are very beneficial. We've talked about this before. Coyotes really don't have a whole lot of natural predators, so it's kind of our job as managers of wildlife to keep that population at a manageable level. We're never going to rid the world of coyotes. They're one of the toughest critters out there, but they've adapted for thousands of years. But you know, it's a neat sport. You know, we see a lot of deer hunters that kind of transition to coyote hunting after the season's end, and because you know every coyote you take out, you know, you could potentially be saving a fawn deer or countless other rabbits mm-hmm. and quail and pheasants. You so bet. It's good to see that people are interested in this sport. It's really come a long way in the last few years. See a lot more people that are becoming interested in it. But you know, as we've talked about many times, there are some things that can sometimes result. We see maybe folks kind of taking some unsafe shots at coyotes. Trespassing can be an issue at times. Shooting from the road is somewhat of an issue. But you know, if you're the type of person that likes to, you know, call game or do a stalk hunt, when there's a little bit of snow on the ground, it can be a really fun and challenging sport.
You bet. Did they take out some numbers down there then?
Yeah, I don't have an official count. I don't know that Adam actually even heard that for the most part, but I heard overall that it was a fairly successful hunt, so that's good to hear. And of course, the most important thing when you're a conservation officer is we didn't get any hunting accident reports. So mm-hmm. that's a success in itself.
Yeah, I can see if people in an event like this and they started screwing up, the landowners are going to be up in arms, and that'll be the end of coyote tournaments and maybe a lot of people getting told, no, you can't hunt anything.
You bet. You know, and that's one of the unfortunate side effects of people who don't take the time to get permission. We've had a lot of, you know, phone calls and complaints here in the last few weeks since deer season has ended that, you know, people may see a group of guys out and they'll see a herd of deer run by, and they think that they're out poaching deer.
Uh-huh,
well,
sure.
You know, they put two and two together, and actually, 9 out of 10 times, they're folks out coyote hunting, and they just so happen to kick up deer because the deer, you know, bedded down and in huge groups this time of the year. So, but again, one of the things that our number one complaint is, especially when the ground's frozen, is people trespassing and driving in farmers' fields and not getting permission. And you know, if you want to make a bad name for yourself and for a hunter, you know, that's an easy way to do it, by not getting permission.
Very quick.
You betcha. And that ruins it for other guys who may knock on the door in the future. So it doesn't, you know, not many people are going to turn you down if you tell them you're coyote hunting, you know. So take the time and do your homework, and you can gain access to a lot of private property.
You bet. We had, back in the day, we had worse slob hunters than we got now, and their favorite deal was to park in a driveway to a field, and when they left, there would be lunch sacks and ammo boxes and all kinds of stuff laying there, and that was really bad, and they pretty well got over that.
Yeah.
Tell me a story about pheasants. You've been driving around since that snow the other day. Are we seeing some hens flock together? We haven't seen much of that in the last few years.
We haven't, no. And honestly, I was just thinking about that the other day as I've been kind of traveling the back roads, is not seeing a whole lot of action for birds in the ditches. But part of that has to do with the fact that the ditches are full of snow right now. So mm-hmm. they're not dumb. They're going to go to, you know, some of the areas where they can scratch around and get to the food a little bit easier. But you know, I've been out in a few CRP fields here lately, and you know, usually when you kick up one bird, you kick up several of them. So that's a good sign to see. You know, that just kind of goes to show how important it is to have good habitat and good cover. If you have the luxury of doing that on your property, it can really benefit birds, particularly late in the season, where they can sometimes struggle due to weather or just, you know, having a real long or cold winter season. So, like I said, if we can skate by the next month or so with some good weather, we should be in good shape for the fall.
Sounds good. Ice fishing, now with the warm weather back again and snow on top of the ice, this is going to be a real iffy deal. And the bad news for some of these guys is that if they've got an ice shack out, that's got to be off of there in 9 days.
Yeah, you know, and that tends to deal with people a little bit further north of us, is where we see those permanent shacks pop up a little bit more. But, ice fishing has been, it's been kind of a hot topic because we've had pretty good ice conditions here for the last month or more. But like you said, now that we have a little bit of snow on top of the ice, that can sometimes hide what's going on beneath it. And, you know, this crazy weather we've had, we go from single digits one night to, they're talking 50 degrees here in the next few days. So that can make things deteriorate rather quickly, especially if we've got a bright, sunny day. So use extra caution. You know, I've kind of cringed a few times. I've seen guys in ATVs and UTVs going out on the ice, and boy, that's the last thing you want to see is somebody, you know, fall through the ice, and that can be a bad deal. So, you know, use your head. We always encourage folks, if you're going to be doing some ice fishing, take a buddy, because if you go through the ice and you're by yourself, you usually can't get to your cell phone.
Yeah.
And sometimes by the time somebody can get out there, even though it might be 50 degrees, that water's cold.
You don't have long.
Yep, and it can take a pretty quick toll on a person. So, you know, tell somebody where you're going. Take a buddy. Take some ice picks in case you go through the ice and can help get yourself out. But, yeah, this is the time of the year where things start to get a little sketchy, as they say, and you need to use some real common sense, and, you know, there's no fish worth falling through the ice for, so just be smart about it.
Yeah. When you get around those ice shacks, I mean, many years ago, a friend of mine walked in and made a mistake and walked up on the south side of an ice shack about this time of year, mm-hmm. and went through, and he said it was iffy whether he got back to the vehicle or not, so
yeah.
Around those buildings, that's warmer there, so, you know.
It is, and, you know, like Lake Anita, for instance, it's been getting a lot of pressure here lately, and, you know, when you've had literally hundreds of people that have fished it in the last month or more, think of all the holes that have been drilled in the ice out there, and, you know, if you're walking, and especially if you've got snow on top of the ice, if you're walking out there on a warm day, you get to an area where there's been countless holes drilled, and maybe they've been covered up by the snow throughout the night, you know, one... It's kind of like walking through a minefield. One false step, and you could be in real trouble. So, you know, I kind of like to see the guys use the sleds or use the portable shacks, because if they do happen to go through, usually they've got that thing, you know, they're holding on with a rope, and that can be a real aid in getting back on top of the ice. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's just something you need to use your head on.
Okay. Everybody needs to take vacations, and a lot of people say they think the boss appreciates it if they don't take vacations, but we need to do that to unwind and everything, and if you're going to take a vacation, you need to take it at State Park, and we've got plenty of them, a lot of campsites and all of that, but the deal is February 28th, you can start reserving your campsite for Memorial Day. You got to plan 3 months ahead with the reservation system, and they've added some new sites, so... Get out and enjoy the state parks.
Yeah, and it just goes to show how popular the state parks can be if you've got to open up reservations, you know, 3 months ahead of time. So, yeah, if you're a diehard camper, that's a date you need to highlight on the calendar and make sure you go online to the reservation system and get your spot reserved, because they won't last long.
You bet. For Lyman Ag Supply in greater downtown Lyman and the Family Vision Center here in Atlantic, this is Bob Bevensey along with Grant Jelly, the conservation officer for Casnadere County, on this morning's Conservation Report.